blessed salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma ba'd, fa'a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Nabiyallah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Nurallah. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, we welcome you back to another beautiful episode on this silsila, The Life of the Chosen One. And that chosen one is none other than our beloved Master, our beloved Rasul, sallallahu ta'ala, alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We had discussed many, many different topics, from the childhood, the bachpan of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to his pure ancestry, to the beloved services of benefit to his community, after he had, or before rather, he had announced his prophethood. And today we'll continue, inshallah ta'ala, on many, many informative sayings and actions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for our benefit to implement in our life. But first, please make good intentions. Whatever good intentions you can think of. For example, I will listen to the silsila from beginning to end for the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I will make a note of the important points. I will try to practice upon them. I will try to encourage them amongst my family members, my spouse, my children, etc., my Muslims of my society. Any other good intentions you can think of, make it now, inshallah ta'ala, for getting and receiving more and more thawab and rewards, inshallah ta'ala. There are great benefits when it comes to the recitation of Durood-e Pak and Salawat upon Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. A very beautiful narration is mentioned, and something for us to think about actually, that many of us, we make dua and we complain that my dua is not accepted in the court of Allah azza wa jal. There can be many reasons for this. Ulama have said that because of our constant sinning, this can be an obstacle for the acceptance of our du'as. Other reasons are there as well. For example, not including Durood-e Pak in our du'a. This can be a reason. Listen to the following narration and take some warning from this. It is mentioned in Sunan Tirmidhi that Amirul Mu'mineen, the command of the believers, the second Khalifa of Islam, the second successor of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Sayyidina Umar al-Faruq al-Azam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he has said, dua, supplication, remains suspended between the earth and the sky, and nothing from it raises until you recite Salat al-Nabi, until you recite Durood-e Pak. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now on this blessed narration, Hakim al-Ummah, Mufti Ahmad al-Khan, rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, has stated that this blessed hadith, we learn that Salat ala Nabi or Durood-e Pak, salutation upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the means for the acceptance of du'as, of supplications. In fact, it is the means for these supplications of ours, for these du'as to be presented in the court of Almighty Allah azza wa jal. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani Channel, so stay with us from beginning to end, inshallah, for authentic and pure knowledge of our deen of Islam and the life of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. We had mentioned earlier that the glorious Kaaba had been under construction in different times, in different intervals in history itself. And I would like you to inform us and educate us, enlighten us, how many times exactly was the Kaaba constructed or reconstructed and by which individuals? Can you please enlighten us?
Alhamdulillah, Allama Jalaluddin Suyuti has stated in his book Tarikhul Makkah that the house of Allah Azza wa Jal was built 10 times. Firstly by angels, directly in coordination with Baytul Ma'mur.
Acha, mashallah.
Directly in coordination with Baytul Ma'mur.
Okay.
That was one.
Mm-hmm.
By Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu was salam. Secondly. Thirdly, day after his children, they reconstructed the Kaaba. Fourthly, by Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and his beloved son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, as mentioned in the Quran. Fifthly, by the tribes of Amalaka and Jurham. and an ascendant of the Quraysh. The reconstruction by the Quraysh, which Rasulullah ﷺ had taken part in, it was another time when Rasulullah ﷺ himself partook in the reconstruction of the Holy Kaaba. And then by Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair, during his Khilafat, he decided to rebuild the Kaaba in according to the structuring of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the time of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so that he could include the Hatim, lower the door to the ground level. And he also intended to build two doors, one on the western side and the other on the eastern side. That was Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair. Until it was lastly rebuilt by Abdul Malik bin Marwan's oppressive governor, Hajjaj bin Yusuf Thaqafi. Allahu Akbar. Who also made Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair Shaheed. Allahu Akbar. He martyred Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair. And Hajjaj destroyed the Kaaba constructed by Hazrat Abdullah bin Zubair. This construction which he made, in which they had two doors, which was lowered to the ground level, and the Hatim being included in the Kaaba, it was destroyed by Hajjaj bin Yusuf.
Okay.
And then it was rebuilt in according to its form during the period of ignorance. This is the Kaaba of this present day.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That we are seeing today.
Ji. This is the exact Kaaba which we are seeing today, built by Hajjaj bin Yusuf.
Very beautiful point, Hazrat. You mentioned about Baytul Ma'mur. Now, many viewers and listeners of Madani channel, they must be thinking and wondering, what is this Baytul Ma'mur? And ulama have said that this Baytul Ma'mur, which is directly situated in the heavens above the Kaaba Sharif, is actually the Kaaba of the angels. How we make tawaf of the Kaaba here present on earth, the angels themselves, the malaika, the pure angels, they also make tawaf, but of Baytul Ma'mur. This is their Kaaba. And you mentioned very beautifully the Hatim. Hatim, what is this Hatim you are talking about?
Hatim actually is a semicircle that you would see around the Kaaba.
Yes, okay. Yes.
Quite distant away from the Kaaba. It is a little portion away from the Kaaba. It is a semicircle.
Okay.
And that name is being given as Hatim.
Is it actually included in the Kaaba itself? Is it part of the Kaaba?
It is part of the Kaaba. The whole idea is it is part of the Kaaba. Subhanallah. So for those people that read namaz in it, you make ibadat in it. It is as if you have made ibadat in the Kaaba. So Hatim is part of the Kaaba.
Alhamdulillah. And this is a very good news for especially those Muslims who are poor and they feel like, you know, only privileged people are allowed to go inside the Kaaba. But here, this facility is even for the poor Muslims. And if you present yourself, even if you stand over there, if you perform salah there, then it is as if you have performed salah inside the Kaaba. Because this is part of the Kaaba itself.
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Azza wa Jal. Now, in the, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was amongst the people, I'm sure there were many who followed him in the beginning stages. First a handful and then many came thereafter. I mean, through his sadaqah, we are here. Alhamdulillah, we are believers, we are Muslims, because of the sadaqah of Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, propagating the invitation towards Islam and the truth towards Allah azza wa jal. But at that time, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had some friends who were very close, people who were very close to him. Now, can you inform us that those close friends, some of them, who were they and their responsibilities that they had being close to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?
His most beloved companion was Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu
anhu,
as his title was given, As-Siddiq, the truthful.
Subhanallah.
Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, who accompanied him in all his travels and was always a close friend to him, the most dearest friend to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kya shan hogi unki? Kya baat hai? Subhanallah, subhanallah. Hazrat Hakim bin Hazam, he was the cousin of Hazrat Khadijat al-Kubra, our beloved mother. A respected leader of the Quraysh. He was a respected leader of the Quraysh. He enjoys the unique privilege of being born in the Holy Kaaba. Subhanallah, subhanallah. He was the cousin of Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra, our beloved mother. And his status and shan is this, that he was born in the Holy Kaaba. Subhanallah, subhanallah. Another companion and business partner of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the business partner and a friend of our beloved Nabi. His name was Hazrat Qais bin Sa'ib Makhzumi, radiyallahu an, who used to say that the business transactions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were always fair, and that he never deceived or argued with anybody in the affairs of businesses or in friendship, Rasulullah SAW never cheated anybody. This was the justice of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah.
And here as well, this is a message actually for us in our dealings, whether it's business dealings, whether it's our dealings with our children, with our spouse, with other Muslims as well, whatever it can be, that fairness and justice is part of the foundations of our teachings of Islam. That we don't deceive, a Muslim does not deceive. A practicing Muslim, a good Muslim, does not deceive others. Even if the person is a non-Muslim, deception in Islam is never taught. So we must always take...
And this is the way, yes. This is the way you're going to bring them close to Islam.
Absolutely.
I mean, once you show that this is a Muslim represents Islam,
uh-huh.
When you walk on the streets,
mm-hmm.
And you are a silent muballigh,
absolutely.
Whether you are in your business place, whether you are in the school, whether you're a student, whether you wherever, mm-hmm. And you... yourself, you are representing Islam, people know you as a Muslim, and by showing humbleness, by lowering your gaze as you are walking, by carrying out this beautiful character which is taught by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it would attract people towards Islam.
Absolutely.
This is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's character is, and this is what attracted the kuffar. As there are many kuffar that accepted Islam by looking at the smile of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. So this is what we need to have.
We should, in fact, because this is how Islam is propagated through the good character of Muslims. So if any non-Muslims are watching out there, remember, don't just judge Islam when you see Muslims who are not practical on Islam. From their lifestyle, don't judge Islam. Judge Islam from the lives of the good Muslims, those who are practical upon Islam. Then you'll see the real and true beauty and value of Islam. Huzur, if we could move forward,
yes.
Regarding some events from the proclamation, from the announcement of Prophethood of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will go through inshallah from whatever events had taken place inshallah ta'ala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was 40 years old, he experienced a revolution in his life at that time. And it was during this time, he decided to separate from the dunya, from the world, and spend more time in seclusion, lost in the ma'rifah, in the recognition of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this happened day and night. He wanted to be drowned in the love, in the recognition of Allah Azza wa Jal by performing spiritual exercises. Now, he would contemplate on how to change the misled community and also experience dreams that during this period became a reality. This is mentioned in hadith, that he was concerned. He was concerned for his people. He was concerned for his society and his community. They were doing so many wicked and evil things that he decided, I want to change them. As our ulama have said, that be the change you want to see. You want to see change, then become the change. Become that first drop of the rain. Don't expect and wait for change to happen. Be the change. Alhamdulillah Azawajal, in Dawud Islam itself, we have many facilities and activities that will help a person to reform and rectify himself or herself and others as well. That's our mission statement. I must strive to reform myself and people of the whole world. Madini qafilas are there. Madini inamat are there for individual progress spiritually. And we have Madini Ijtima'at and too many other things which are available. Courses are available as well. Jamitul Madina, Darul Madina, Madrasatul Madina for children, for adults. These things are aimed to make our lives in obedience to Allah and His Rasul Azza wa Jalla wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now here, the cave of Hira, which is approximately 3 miles, about 4.8 kilometers away from Makkatul Mukarrama, there is a mountain called Jabal Hira. And in this mountain, there is a cave called Hira, this cave. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to frequently spend his time engrossed in the ibadat and the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And even would take some provisions with him, some food, some water as well. When these used to finish, Ummul Mu'mineen, our beloved mother, Sayyidah Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, would either send more provisions for Aqa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would return for more. To this day, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, this cave of Hira remains in its original form and is visited by many, many countless people, especially those who go for Hajj, for Umrah. They go, they climb the mountain and to visit this blessed cave and make dua there as well. So we must make our intention, inshallah ta'ala, I too will climb that mountain and I will be in that blessed presence of where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to come. Physically used to be there, subhanallah, and take his blessings, take his barakat and blessings from there, and make dua as well, inshallah ta'ala. the initial revelation, the initial and the first wahi revelation took place here as well. One day, while engrossed in the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, an angel came before Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam and said, Iqra, read, recite, proclaim. It was a request from that angel. And who was this angel? This angel was none other than the archangel, the leader of all angels, Sayyidina Jibra'il ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wasalam. And he is the angel who is responsible for bringing wahi and revelation to each prophet, to all the prophets alayhi wasalam. And then Jibra'il alayhi salam firmly embraced Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, thereafter releasing him and repeated, Iqra, recite, read. Again, the same reply came from Aqwa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel alayhi salam then finally embraced Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam for the third time and released him and said, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaqa al-insana min alaq, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi allama bil-qalam, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. This is the first wahi's first revelation that came, Surah Alaq verses 1 to 5. Translation from Kanzul Iman, recite with the name of your Lord who created, he made man from a clot of blood. Recite, for your Lord is the most generous who taught writing by the pen, taught man what he knew not. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal, this was the very first revelation that came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in this cave of Hira. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually memorized these verses that Jibreel Alayhi Salam had recited to him. Huzur, we can see here that this was the first revelation. And thereafter, what happened? That Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because it was the first time, was actually shocked and was sort of like shivering, because first time something like this happened to him. First time he had met this angel that came and told him to recite. So what happened? He went home to his family members. They covered him in a blanket. In fact, he asked and he said, wrap me up, cover me up in a blanket, in a shawl. And Khadija radiallahu anha had done this here. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that, I fear for my life. I have some fear now, some apprehension. And Sayyidina Khadija radiallahu anha had replied, Allah Azza wa Jal will never forsake you. Allah. Subhanallah. Look how, and from this, husband comforted and Rasulullah comforted. Husband and wife must be comfort for each other. Spouses, they must give comfort to each other, solace Allah. To
Look
each other.
Look at the nasiha in this. And as well, the ulama mentioned in the tafsir of garment, that garment and clothes cover the mistakes, or they cover the aib on your body.
Yes, yes.
For example, you don't know what marks are on my body because my garment covers my body. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely.
So you, in other words, cover your wife's mistake and she will cover your mistake. Do not expose one another in public.
Very important.
So, hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahunna.
Many madani pearls for us.
Subhanallah, subhanallah.
Thereafter, Khadija radiallahu ta'ala, our beloved mother, took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to her cousin Waraqa bin Nawfal. And he was a muwahid, a monotheist, but a scholar as well. And he had said that, you know, that angel who came to the Prophet ﷺ is the same angel that came to Nabi Musa alayhi salam. Because he also came to give wahi to Musa alayhi salam. And he told Nabi ﷺ that the people, they will drive you out of Makkah. Nabi ﷺ thought that my own people, they will take me out of this land. I was born here, but they will take me out. And yes, it was replied to him, yes, they will take you out and they will become enemies. So after a long time, this wahi was stopped. It yielded. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam worried, what happened? So soon, one day, he came out of his house and he heard a voice say, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He looked up and he saw the same angel, Jibreel Alayhi Salam, sitting on a chair between the earth and the sky. Allah. Subhanallah. And once again, he was taken aback and he rushed home, saying to his family, cover me in a blanket. After they did this, the following verse was revealed. Translation from Kanzul Iman, O the mantled one, stand up, then warn, and magnify your Lord alone, and keep clean your clothes. Subhanallah. And now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was ordered by Allah Azza wa Jal to propagate Islam, and his mission began. So here we see, and we know that there are different periods of inviting towards Islam. Can you please shed some light on the first period? They say that there's three periods where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi invited towards Islam. That first period, can you enlighten us? And also, who was the first person to accept Islam?
There are three periods of inviting towards Islam, right? Let's look at the first period.
Okay.
For 3 years, our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam secretly invited people towards Islam.
Achha, okay.
He gave them da'wah towards Islam. Subhanallah. And towards the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Towards Islam and the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal.
This happened secretly.
Secretly. And the first woman to accept Islam, subhanallah. It feels so good to know that this was our mother, the beloved wife and the zawja of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra radiyallahu
anha. Subhanallah, mashallah.
Our beloved mother.
First woman to accept
Islam. The mother of the believers, Hazrat Khadija, was the first woman to accept Islam. And from the freed men, from a man that was not anyone's slave, the first man to accept Islam was the closest friend of our beloved Nabi, and none other than Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu ta'ala, the closest companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Subhanallah. And Hazrat Ali radiyallahu an was the first child from the children. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu an was the first to accept Islam. And Hazrat Zaid bin Harith, the first slave to accept Islam. Subhanallah. So we got the first woman, Hazrat Khadija al-Kubra, the first freed man who was not anybody's slave, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, from amongst the males, the men, and from amongst the children, from the youngsters, from the youth, Hazrat Ali radiyallahu an, and from the slaves, Hazrat Zaid bin Harith, the first slave that accepted Islam. Thereafter, throughout the propagation of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiyallahu an, propagation of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Uthman, Zubair bin Awwam, Abdul Rahman bin Auf, Sa'ad bin Abi Waqqas, these companions had all entered in Islam. These were great muballigh, great companions. History recalls their names until today. Allah Azza wa Jal had kept them clean at that time as well. Where they used to look for a way to escape from this. They knew that this is not the truth.
I said that Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu is a prime example of this here. So you mentioned about slavery. I just want to add, for the benefit of our dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, that at that time slavery was practiced. But Islam came to abolish slavery and to remove this wicked evil crime of slavery.
It is evident from the above names that those who had entered in Islam were noble. Their personalities were noble and moral, distinguished persons in search of the religion of truth. And alhamdulillah, the religion of truth is Islam. Subhanallah, subhanallah, without any doubt.
So, Huzur, it's evident from these names that you had mentioned now, yes, those who entered into Islam. I would like to emphasize, they were noble people. The characters were good characters, distinguished people, in fact, in search of the religion of truth.
They were in search of the truth. They were waiting for someone.
And there's many people out there today also, they're searching for truth. And we invite, if there's any non-Muslims watching, we invite you to Islam, the religion of peace, the religion of truth. And if you practice upon this, you will see that happiness in your life, inshallah ta'ala, like Allah wills, inshallah. I would like to mention the second period. First period we had passed, and the second period of inviting, nekigi da'wah we call it in Dawah Islamist terminology, that inviting towards Islam, doing da'wah and tabligh, propagation of Islam itself. An assembly of Muslims were later produced due to the 3 years of this propagation, when Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the following ayah, the following verse to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَأَنذِرْ عَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ Surah Shu'ara, verse 214, translation from Kanzul Iman. And O beloved, warn your nearest kinsmen. Sayyidina wa Mawlana Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam climbed onto the mountain of Safa and gathered the Quraysh before him. And he told them, he announced, O my people, if I had to tell you that behind this mountain there is an army waiting to attack you, would you believe me? They replied in one voice, yes, we certainly would believe you, as we've always found you to be the most honest person.
Subhanallah.
Allahu Akbar. MashaAllah. Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam replied, if this is so, then I warn you of the azab, the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Become mu'mins. Become believers, or you will receive retribution and punishment and torture. Hearing this, the Quraysh, including Abu Lahab, Abu Lahab, one of the staunchest enemies of Islam and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also an uncle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was there as well, became infuriated. became extremely angry, and thereafter all of them, they dispersed, they went away, speaking ill of Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, you as well, dear viewer, Muslims, come back to the practical aspect of Islam. Non-Muslims, we invite you towards a beautiful and peaceful religion of Islam. Huzur, that third period, can you enlighten us please on this third period of inviting towards goodness?
Look, the first period, as we mentioned, silent propagation. Silently, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was giving da'wah,
yes,
for the people to come towards Islam. And then secondly, you mentioned that now he went on the mountain and he started to give the people trust. He was testing them.
Yes.
Until now, lots of people have, there were other sahabas that also accepted Islam, and they were amongst the first batch of Muslims that accepted Islam. And they were the noble personalities as well. And then the third period comes. In this period, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was ordered by Allah Azza wa Jal. In this verse of Surah Hajr, فَاسْدَعْ بِمَا تُؤْمَرْ, in the Holy Quran, translation of Kanzul Iman, say to them openly what you have been commanded. Allah Azza wa Jal commanded Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam to now tell those people, to call them towards Islam openly, which now began. First it was silent, there was not much oppression, there was not much tension, no one knew what was going on. For those that knew, they kept it very secret. And now when Rasulullah ﷺ openly told them, according to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call them towards Islam openly, which now began, and now when it became into practice, of the practices of the kuffar and shirk were canonically spoken bad of, which wanted the Quraysh and Meccans, meaning now the idols have been rejected.
Right, okay.
And it is the opposite of their religion. Lat and Nuzat have been rejected, which aggravated them to fight back, to oppress Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Allahu Akbar. And if you look at the history, what they have did to Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is beyond our imagination. Beyond our imagination.
But still, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam persisted, and therefore we got Islam. Because of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's patience and perseverance in tolerating whatever oppression. Some of the oppression, can you just share with us?
It is mentioned in the tarikh of Islam, of the seer of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, the kuffar of Makkah could not kill the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as they feared war and revenge from the Banu Hashim.
Okay,
yes, they were scared. They could not take a chance with fighting with Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, choosing instead to oppress him in different ways. They called him lunatic, witch doctor, evil wizard, etc. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, na'udhu billah. And ran this propaganda against him throughout the streets of Makkatul Mukarramah.
Imagine.
The marketplaces, the public gatherings. Immoral children were made to follow him and scream these words out while other people swore and stoned him. Allahu Akbar. Mere aka Makke ke galiyon mein chal rahe hain, Makke ke sadkon pe chal rahe hain, chote chote bachchon ko peeche bhej diya gaya.
To
go and call him names. Allahu Akbar. They also spread thorns on his path, ki unke chalne ki raah par kaante bichha diye gaye. Imagine. But look at the sabr and look at the patience of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. As they threw thorns on his path, they threw filth on his pure body. Magar our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam yet never swore them back. He never fought with them back. Is this not the tolerance that we should take? Is this not the lesson that we should learn from the lifestyle and from the character of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? Reported that Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam was once busy performing salah in the haram of the Kaaba, when the cursed kuffar Uqba began to strangle him with a cloth. Ki mere aqa abhi haram e Kaaba mein namaz pad rahe hain. He is reading salah, he is performing his salah, and this person, this gustakh, the enemy of the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, came and he took a cloth and he started to strangle our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Its force resulting the Holy Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam gasping for breath. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in salah and he's gasping for breath.
He's being throttled by a cloth. He's being strangled by a non-Muslim. Seeing this, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu an advanced towards and pushed Uqba away. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq pushed him away, saying, "Will you kill someone just for saying my Lord is Allah? Will you kill someone just for saying that my Lord is Allah?" Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu then severely hit some of the disbelievers. He beated them. He hit those disbelievers in this war and received a few bowls from them as well. Meaning they also beated him and he beated. Meaning he defended Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look at his love for Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time, when he knew that we are just handful of Muslims and they are in majority. Magar mere aqa ke liye hamesha hama waqt wo tayyar hote ki hum kab aqa ke liye jaan nisaawar kar de, kab hum apni jaan de de, when we can sacrifice our life. They used to look for these chances. Allahu Akbar.
You mentioned about Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's tolerance.
Yes.
And Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala defending and at the same time getting blows from the kuffar
and
themselves.
And this hadith has been mentioned in Bukhari Sharif.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu authentic, Akbar. Authentic. So imagine a we now. There's actually from here a kind of good news for the Muballighin and the preachers of Islam out there. That it is not the way, our Bapa John in fact has said, it is not the way of the believers to throw stones at others. If you are calling towards Allah and His Rasul and others are throwing stones to you, then this is the way of how the kuffar used to do to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If somebody is character assassinating you, assassinating your character, your image, your name, then remember something. If you are on truth, on haq, then you are following in the footsteps actually of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
You've got to be steadfast. You've got to be steadfast on haq.
Absolutely.
I mean, look, I find it necessary to narrate this narration here as well, to mention this narration. When Rasulullah ﷺ was once inviting people to Islam in the market of Dhul Majaz, Abu Jahl began to beat a drum saying, "People, don't listen to him. He wants to take you away from the worship of Lat and Uzzat." And this happened while Rasulullah ﷺ was also once in the Haram performing Salah. And they actually announced, "Is there anyone who can bring the stomach and intestines of a slaughtered camel that belongs to a tribe and place it on his shoulders?" O dhuniya, mere aqa ke shoulder mubarak par, unke kandhe par rakh diya gaya ki mere aqa namaz mein hai, and the dirty stuff is kept on the shoulders of Rasulullah. This was brought by the shameless Uqba bin Mu'it, this person who was the first one that also strangled. He was the one that brought it in came, who put it on the shoulders where it remained for some time. Ki mere aqa ne abhi usko hataya nahi. My aqa, my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in sajda. The disbelievers were greatly amused with this and fell on top of each other in laughter. Itne hasne lage, mazak udane lage ki ek dusre ke upar gir pad rahe hain, hans rahe hain. Looking at this on the shoulders of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, finally, akhirkar, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, who was very young at that time, ki choti si bachchi thi. She was a small child. She arrived and she removed it from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's shoulder. She moved it from the shoulders of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallam was greatly saddened by this. And he supplicated to Allah Azza wa Jal after his namaz saying, "Allahumma alayka bi Quraishin. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, rain down your punishment on the Quraysh." Rasulullah then cursed the Quraysh. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha rushed there and she removed that intestine and stomach from the shoulders of Rasulullah. She was actually dusting the back of Rasulullah. Imagine such a small child at that age. She knew what was going on was not right. And Rasulullah, after he finished, he was out of his salah, he supplicated in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Allahumma alayka bi Qurayshin. Ya Allah, rain down your punishment on the Quraysh."
Huzur, here this, you mentioned Abu Jahl.
Yes.
Abu Jahl, it is mentioned that Aqa sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam called him the Fir'aun, the Pharaoh of this ummah. His name was Abu al-Hakam. He saw so many miracles, mu'ajizat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in front of his eyes, but still he rejected. And therefore he was given this title of Abu Jahl. Everybody knows him as Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance. And he died upon this kufr, being the Fir'aun and the Pharaoh of this ummah of Aqwa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahu Akbar. And in this curse, now definitely,
in this curse that Rasulullah ﷺ supplicated for Allah to shower his anger towards them, to destroy them, Rasulullah ﷺ actually named them. By name, he supplicated in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Jahl, he took Abu Jahl's name. Utba bin Rabia, Shayba bin Rabia, Walid bin Utba, Umayyah bin Khalaf, and Amara bin Walid. And, O Allah Azza wa Jal, punish them. Shower your
punishment
upon them. And Hazrat Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu states, oath by Allah, I have seen these people that the name that Rasulullah ﷺ took in his supplication, Hazrat Abdullah says, I have seen these people being destroyed in the Battle of Badr. Is this not this that Rasulullah's dua and supplication had been accepted in the bargah of Allah Azza wa Jal, as they have hurt the feelings of our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam?
Absolutely. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the beloved of Allah.
The beloved
now, if your beloved is going through some hardships, if somebody is attacking your beloved, won't you do something? So here Allah Azza wa Jal, on behalf of Aqqa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, is actually sending his azab towards these people. He's mentioned that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the Sahaba Ikram Alayhim Ridwan who were there at the Battle of Badr had dragged these people and threw them in a pit, and Aqqa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the la'nat, the curse of Allah Azza wa Jal, is on the people of this pit. And today, Huzur, we have people out there, maybe because of misconceptions, maybe because of wasawis, of evil whisperings, they may say things that is against the honor and respect of Aqqa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We must take a lesson from this. If we annoy or if we hurt or harm Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his blessed image, his blessed life, if we say anything which brings out down the status, we can't bring down the status of Aqqa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Azza wa Jalla has increased his status. But if anybody says anything wrong against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then take a lesson from this. That the curse of Allah Azza wa Jalla will come upon them in this world and in the hereafter.
Therefore, whatever
we talk about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam must be words of praise. Use the most beautiful words for our beloved Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then inshallah ta'ala, we will see the benefits and the blessings
in this world and the hereafter.
Inshallah ta'ala. Dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, therefore our success lies in obedience to Allah Azza wa Jal and the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have come towards the end of this silsila, and I request you, Hazur, please enlighten us with one shi'r, inshallah ta'ala.
You know, after listening and speaking about the seerah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, ke mere aqa kin kin takleefon se guzre, kya kya samna karna pada, what he faced in his life. You know, this definitely will have to take you closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It will bring you closer to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It will connect you to him and it will make you love him even more. And you would learn sabr and patience from the personality of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, I would just like to mention that whatever we possess today, hamari paas jo kuch hai, whatsoever we have today, ye sab hamare nabi ke sadqe mein mila hai. It is through the sadqa of our beloved nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. For he is the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the son of Hazrat Allama Maulana Mufti Ahmad Raza Khan, Fadhil Barilvi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Huzur Mufti Azam Hind. Very beautifully he says, whatever we have is from Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. He says, Khaate hai tere dar ka, peete hai tere dar ka, khaate hai tere dar ka,
dear viewers and listeners of Madani channel, we have come to the conclusion of this silsila. But we do hope, inshallah ta'ala, you have learnt much as we have done, and that you join us next time on this wonderful silsila, The Life of the Chosen One. Ameen bi jahin nabil ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Countless salutations be upon the chosen one, the soul of mercy. Countless salutations be upon the divine candle of assembly of guidance.